If you Google Google this morning, news that the company is about to be hit by a massive European fine. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We're expecting that EU decision within the next hour. Reports say it could be a $5 billion fine and could change Google's highly profitable business model. The European Commission says Google unfairly favored its Chrome browser in its Android operating system. Here's the BBC's technology editor, Rory Ketlin-Jones.
This is all about the control Google exercises over this Android operating system and in the European Commission's view, how far it's come from the original concept. Google originally touted Android as completely open source. You could take it, do what you want with it. It's free. We don't care. And over the years, it's got more and more tied down. They want to impose things like making you, if you're a manufacturer and want to use Google Search on the phone, take a whole bunch of other Google apps too. So the central allegation is that it's incredibly dominant and it's abusing that dominance for its own good.
Rory Ketlin-Jones there. Now, the Android decision represents the beginning of a lengthy legal battle, and it may end up in Europe's highest court. Suzanne Rabb is a lawyer specialising in the EU here in London.
Google would say that their business model actually allows them to bundle together applications that consumers want and has fostered innovation and competing services. So they would say that they have opened the market and promoted competition. But it's expected that this will be a significant fine and comparable to the fine that was imposed on Google in another case involving alleged abuse of dominance around its search and shopping sites. I think what is really interesting, though, will be what kind of corrective measures the Commission might impose.
Suzanne Rabb, let's do the numbers. Asian stock markets are up, tracking a Wall Street rally after the chairman of America's central bank expressed confidence in the U.S. economy. Meanwhile, oil prices have fallen to a three-month low after a rise in U.S. inventories highlighted concerns over weak demand. For the past 20 years, you couldn't make a phone call between Ethiopia and Eritrea, much less fly, travel or trade. Conflict between the two East African countries began in 1993 when Eritrea broke away. A war followed that killed about 80,000 people. Now, last week, the two sides signed a peace deal. And today, the BBC's Emmanuel Igunza is on the first flight between the two countries. He sent us this report.
So in the next few minutes, the first flight from Addis Ababa to Asmara in 20 years will be taking off, and it's a lot of excitement here at the airport. There are lots of people, including the former Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn, and I'm now joined by the pilot who will be taking that first flight. Can you tell me your name and how it feels to be on this very historic flight?
My name is Captain Joseph Hailu, and I've been flying for close to 34 years. You know, this is where I started my job, you know. I know Asmara. I've flown to Asmara several times. But this time it's a little bit different. The feeling is different.
How different is it?
Yeah, because I'm going back to the place where, you know, I grew up, you know. So the feeling is different. I am really, really, really happy.
So also on the flight will be the former Prime Minister, Haile Mariam Desalegn. How exciting is this for you at the moment?
It is very, very exciting to me because if you remember right, I said I can go even to Asmara to bring peace and tranquility in these two countries. And now I see that this is realized. And you can see how emotional I am. So I think this is a very golden moment for the two countries and the two people.
Did it come as a surprise that this new peace deal came about?
No, it is not. I know one day it will happen, and it happened now.
That report from Emmanuel Igunza, who is somewhere in the air between Ethiopia and Eritrea. Now, Kubram Dafla is a former Eritrean Airlines CEO and former head of its treasury. He now lives in the Netherlands.
It represents optimism between the peoples.
This is really going to give both economies lots of room to grow.
Not on the Eritrean side.
Why do you say that?
Well, it had nothing to do with the severing of economic relationship, political relationship with Ethiopia. The Ethiopians will benefit a lot, but with respect to Eritrea, no citizen is free legally to pursue business or private thing, because every citizen under 64 now is under the military national service. You are not allowed to have your private life by law. If you are in the national service, you're not free to go and have a business.
So there are no shops, restaurants, cafes, services?
There are. It's because they go around the law. The shop, for instance, you will have it in the name of your grandmother. The government knows, but it allows it to go on because it's a way of controlling the population anytime they want. So there are shops, there are cafes, but not big businesses.
So who is going to benefit? Because there will be trade between Eritrea and Ethiopia.
I don't know who benefits, but I'm telling you, legally, as a citizen, he cannot say, oh, now Ethiopia is open. I go there to trade. I will come back. I'll do this. I'll do that. They cannot plan because they are not free.
Kubram Dafla there, former Eritrean Airlines CEO. And one related story today, Ethiopia's information minister said the country is open to selling off state-owned firms to, quote, unleash the potential of the private sector. Finally, it may not have enough electricity, but Madagascar, the island nation off East Africa's coast, is blessed with one tech advantage. It has a broadband speed twice as fast as the global average, outpacing Canada, France, and the UK. Stay tuned to Marketplace and the BBC for more on that Google decision coming from the EU. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.